The Pharsalia by Lucan, Book 2, Part 2. Pompeius, ignorant that his captain thus was taken, armed his levies newly raised to give his legion strength, and, as he thought, to sound his trumpets with the coming dawn, to test his soldiers ere he moved his camp, thus in majestic tones their ranks addressed: "Soldiers of Rome, avengers of her laws, to whom the Senate gives no private arms, ask by your voices for the battle sign. Fierce falls the pillage on Hesperian fields, and Gallia's fury o'er the snowy Alps is poured upon us. Caesar's swords at last are red with Roman blood, but with the wound we gain the better cause. The crime is theirs. No war is this, but for offended Rome we wreak vengeance. As when Catiline lifted against her roofs the flaming brand, and partner in his fury, Lentulus, and mad Cethegus with his naked arm. Is such thy madness, Caesar? When the fates, with great Camillus's and Metellus's names, might place thine own, dost thou prefer to rank with Marius and Cinna? Swift shall be thy fall, as Lepidus before the sword of Catulus, or who my axes felt, Carbo, now buried in Sicanian tomb, or who in exile roused Iberia's hordes, Sertorius. Yet, witness heaven, with these I hate to rank thee, hate the task that Rome has laid upon me to oppose thy rage. Would that in safety from the Parthian war and Scythian steppes had conquering Crassus come. Then, haply, hadst thou fallen by the hand that smote vile Spartacus, the robber foe. But if among my triumphs fate has said thy conquest shall be written, know this heart still sends the lifeblood coursing, and this arm still vigorously flings the dart afield. He deems me slothful. Caesar, thou shalt learn, we brook not peace because we lag in war. Old does he call me? Fear not ye mine age. Let me be elder, if his soldiers are. The highest point a citizen can reach and leave his people free is mine. A throne alone were higher. Whoso would surpass Pompeius aims at that. Both consuls stand here. Here for battle stand your lawful chiefs. And shall this Caesar drag the Senate down? Not with such blindness, not so lost to shame does fortune rule. Does he take heart from Gaul? For years on years rebellious, and a life spent there in labor? Or because he fled Rhine's icy torrent and the shifting pools he calls an ocean? Or unchallenged sought Britannia's cliffs, then turned his back in flight? Or does he boast because his citizens were driven in arms to leave their hearths and homes? Ah, vain delusion! Not from thee they fled. My steps they follow, mine, whose conquering sign swept all the ocean, and who, ere the moon twice filled her orb and waned, compelled to flight the pirate, shrinking from the open sea, and humbly begging for a narrow home in some poor nook on shore. 'Twas I again, who, happier far than Sulla, drave to death that king, who, exiled to the deep recess of Scythian Pontus, held the fates of Rome still in the balances. Where is the land that hath not seen my trophies? Icy waves of northern Phasis, hot Egyptian shores, and where Syene, beneath its noontide sun, no shade on neither hand. All these have learned to fear Pompeius. And far Bitis's stream, last of all floods to join the refluent sea. Arabia, and the warlike hordes that dwell beneath the Euxine wave, the famous land that lost the Golden Fleece, Cilician wastes and Cappadocian, and the Jews who pray before an unknown god, Sophene soft, all felt my yoke. What conquests now remain? What wars not civil can my kinsmen wage? No loud acclaim received his words, nor shout asked for the promised battle. And the chief drew back the standards, for the soldiers' fears were in his soul alike. Nor dared he trust an army, vanquished by the fame alone of Caesar's powers, to fight for such a prize. And as some bull, his early combat lost, forth driven from the herd, in exile roams through lonely plains or secret forest depths, whets on opposing trunks his growing horn, and proves himself for battle, till his neck is ribbed afresh with muscle. Then returns, defiant of the hind, and victor now, leads wheresoe'er he will his lowing bands. Thus Magnus, yielding to a stronger foe, gave up Italia, and sought in flight Brundusium's sheltering battlements. Here of old fled Cretan settlers when the dusky sail spread the false message of the hero dead. Here, where Hesperia, curving as a bow, draws back her coast, a little tongue of land shuts in with bending horns the sounding main. Yet insecure the spot, unsafe in storm, were it not sheltered by an isle on which the Adriatic billows dash and fall, and tempests lose their strength. On either hand, a craggy cliff opposing breaks the gale that beats upon them, while the ships within, held by their trembling cables, ride secure. Hence to the mariner the boundless deep lies open, whether for Corcyra's port he shapes his sails, or for Illyria's shore, and Epidamnus facing to the main Ionian. Here, when raging in his might, fierce Adria whelms in foam Calabria's coast, when clouds tempestuous veil Caraunus's height, the sailor finds a haven. When the chief could find no hope in battle on the soil he now was quitting, and the lofty Alps forbade Iberia, to his son he spake, the eldest scion of that noble stock. Search out the far recesses of the earth, Nile and Euphrates, wheresoe'er the fame of Magnus lives, where, through thy father's deeds, the people tremble at the name of Rome. Lead to the sea again the pirate bands. Rouse Egypt's kings, Tigranes, holy mine, and Pharnaces, and all the vagrant tribes of both Armenias and the Pontic hordes, warlike and fierce, the dwellers on the hills Rupaean, and by that dread northern marsh whose frozen surface bears the loaded wain. Why further stay thee? Let the eastern world sound with the war, all cities of the earth, conquered by me, as vassals, to my camp send all their levied hosts. And you, whose names within the Latian book recorded stand, strike for Epirus with the northern wind, and thence, in Greece and Macedonian tracts, while winter gives us peace, new strength acquire for coming conflicts. They obey his words, and loose their ships and launch upon the main. But Caesar's might, intolerant of peace or lengthy armistice, lest now perchance the fates might change their edicts, swift pursued the footsteps of his foe. To other men, so many cities taken at a blow, so many strongholds captured, might suffice. And Rome herself, the mistress of the world, lay at his feet the greatest prize of all. Not so with Caesar. Instant on the gold he fiercely presses, thinking nothing done while aught remains to do. Now in his grasp lay all Italia, but while Magnus stayed upon the utmost shore, his grieving soul deemed all was shared with him. Yet he essayed escape to hinder, and with labor vain piled in the greedy main gigantic rocks. Mountains of earth down to the sandy depths were swallowed by the vortex of the sea. Just as if Eryx and its lofty top were cast into the deep, yet not a speck should mark the watery plain, or Gaurus huge, split from his summit to his base, were plunged in fathomless Avernus's stagnant pool. The billows, thus unstemmed, 'twas Caesar's will to hew the stately forests, and with trees in chain to form a rampart. Thus of old, if fame be true, the boastful Persian king prepared a way across the rapid strait 'twixt Sestos and Abydos, and made one the European and the Trojan shores, and marched upon the waters, wind and storm counting as naught, but trusting his emprise to one frail bridge, so that his ships might pass through middle Athos. Thus a mighty mole of fallen forests grew upon the waves, free until then, and lofty turrets rose, and land usurped the entrance to the main. This, when Pompeius saw, with anxious care his soul was filled, yet hoping to regain the exit lost, and win a wider world wherein to wage the war, on chosen ships he hoist the sails. These, driven by the wind, and drawn by cables fastened to their prows, scattered the beams asunder. And at night, not seldom, engines, worked by stalwart arms, flung flaming torches forth. But when the time for secret flight was come, no sailor shout rang on the shore, no trumpet marked the hour, no bugle called the armament to sea. Already shone the Virgin in the sky, leading the scorpion in her course, whose claws foretell the rising sun. When noiseless all, they cast the vessels loose. No song was heard to greet the anchor wrenched from stubborn sand. No captain's order when the lofty mast was raised or yards were bent. A silent crew drew down the sails which hung upon the ropes, nor shook the mighty cables, lest the wind should sound upon them. But the chief, in prayer, thus spake to Fortune: "Thou whose high decree has made us exiles from Italia's shores, grant us at least to leave them." Yet the fates hardly permitted, for a murmur vast came from the ocean, as the countless keels furrowed the waters, and with ceaseless splash the parted billows rose again and fell. Then were the gates thrown wide, for with the fates the city turned to Caesar, and the foe, seizing the town, rushed onward by the pier that circled in the harbor. Then they knew, with shame and sorrow, that the fleet was gone, and held the open, and Pompeius' flight gave a poor triumph. Yet was narrower far the channel which gave access to the sea than that Euboean strait whose waters laved the shore by Chalcis. Here two ships stuck fast, alone, of all the fleet. The fatal hook grappled their decks and drew them to the land. And the first bloodshed of the civil war here left a blush upon the ocean wave. As when the famous ship sought Phasis' stream, the rocky gates closed in and hardly gripped her flying stern. Then, from the empty sea, the cliffs rebounding to their ancient seat were fixed to move no more. But now the steps of morn approaching tinged the eastern sky with roseate hues. The Pleiades were dim, the wagon of the charioteer grew pale, the planets faded, and the silvery star which ushers in the day was lost in light. Then Magnus holds the deep. Yet not the same now are their fates, as when from every sea thy fleet triumphant swept the pirate pest. Tired of thy conquests, Fortune now no more shall smile upon thee. With thy spouse and sons, thy household gods and peoples in thy train, still great in exile, in a distant land, thou seek'st thy fated fall. Not that the gods, wishing to rob thee of a Roman grave, decreed the strands of Egypt for thy tomb. 'Twas Italy they spared, that far away Fortune on shores remote might hide her crime, and Roman soil be pure of Magnus's blood. End of Book 2.